Well, praise God. Y'all glad to be in church today? I'm glad you came. Glad somebody's hungry for some of the Word of God. How many of y'all really want to see Jesus move in your life in 2014? Or do y'all just want to live the same old life, just dull? How many of y'all, everything's perfect and you don't really even need God at all? Anybody in that? Anybody like that in here? Didn't figure that. Just by the time you think everything's okay, well then something goes wrong, okay? I debated which way to go, but I can't hold it in anymore about preaching about this next year. I am excited about 2014. I figure there's no other thing to do but get excited about it. You know? It's kind of like the preacher said one time when they were going to throw him out of town. He says, when they're going to throw you out of town, just get in front of the crowd and act like it's a parade and you're leading it. So that's kind of the way I'm about 2014. You know, I don't know what the year's going to hold. I don't know what. You can look at it as doom and gloom, but if there's bad things going to happen, well, then there's more opportunities for miracles. Right? And so, I don't know. I just know that my Jesus is bigger. And my God is bigger, and my God created this world in 6 days, and he's not too worried about anything. And the most important thing I believe that we can do in 2014 is to get hooked up with the Spirit of God and what God's doing. You know, we can sit around and gripe and complain about this and that and the other, but we got to find out what's God doing, what does he want done, and get hooked up with it, you know. And I believe for too long, I've said this forever, the worst, the biggest enemy of Christianity is Christians. You know, it's the truth. Christians have just, I mean, they've done every stupid thing on the face of the earth in the name of Jesus and turned people off, and people don't want to go to church and people don't want to read their Bibles and people don't know what the truth is. They've got stupid History Channel out there putting on one time they're talking about how great Jesus is and next time talking about how wrong the Bible is. I mean, I'm like, come on, folks, what are we going to do? Just say both sides of everything, you know, and just throw it out there and try to let everybody sort it out. You know, I don't know. It's like I read an article the other day about, you know, vitamins weren't any good. And I said, well, good Lord, you know, tell you forever take vitamins. Now they say they ain't no good, you know. Eat eggs. Don't eat eggs, you know. It's just time to just back your ears and dive in, do what you feel like the Spirit of God's telling you to do, and go on, live life. Tell everybody to shut up and quit telling you that stuff. I feel kind of violent in 2014. Like it's time to just stand up and say, why don't you just shut up? You know, I'm just tired of listening to it. Tired of all the bunk going on. But one thing, let me ask y'all this morning. How many of y'all in your house have a junk drawer? Come on, give me some real hands. Does everybody in here have a junk drawer? Or are all of y'all so orderly that you don't have junk drawers? You know, a junk drawer is, in my opinion, a junk drawer is the drawer that you've got this thing that you don't know really where it goes. It doesn't fit anywhere in the other drawers, and so you throw it in the junk drawer, right? But do you notice how often you need to use the junk drawer? Right? When you can't find what you need or you run up against an obstacle, you slide open the junk drawer, and then you get out what you need, right? Because there's a little bit of everything in the junk drawer. Hello? Right? You know, like, you know, you're looking for a paper clip. Well, there's probably one in the junk drawer because you had one at one time. You didn't know what to do, then you threw it in the junk drawer. Right? You're looking for a pen, a spare pen. It's probably the one in the junk drawer. Nails, little nails that you hung a picture with and you didn't know what to do with those, all those nails that were left there. You just threw them in the junk drawer, right? Am I talking to people who have a junk drawer here now? Okay, well, what's funny about a junk drawer is in the junk drawer, you have all these things that are really useful to you. So it's not technically junk. Hello? Are y'all with me? It's technically vital necessities that have to just be thrown all together. Well, I believe in 2014, God wants you to pull out your junk drawer and do a little sorting and see how many good things you really have in your junk drawer. Because you're going to get to use them this year. Hello? I believe that 2014 can be a great year of faith for us all. But you're going to have to pull out your junk drawer and find where you threw that extra faith. When you had just a little left over from the last experience you went through and you threw it in there, you're going to pull out that drawer and you're probably going to need that faith this year. Y'all following me here? That time when God gave you a word yesterday, well, it wasn't yesterday, it was sometime this week. I don't remember. I was at the house and I actually was looking for a sermon that I preached, oh gosh, years ago. And I was looking for this sermon, and so I was digging through all of my notebooks and Bible covers. I have a little kind of like women. I don't fault a woman for liking shoes, having 96 pairs of shoes in your closet. I don't, because I'm kind of that away with Bibles and Bible covers. Like, I just see it, oh, that is the greatest one in the world. Look, you got a little compartment here for this and this and this and this. And it's manly and it's leather and I like it. But then over the years, I go through them and they either break or, you know, a strap comes off or something like that. And then all of my notes that I used to write everything, and then I went to typing it out. And I actually have notes like on the old printers, you know, that print out like, you know, like typing. And, yeah, that thing. And so until now, I've moved into using computers, but now I'm losing stuff because my computer keeps deleting and I don't know where it went. So now I've gone back to printing it out. So anyway, I'm telling you, I got tons of sermons, tons of stuff sitting around everywhere. So I was looking for one. So I went through it and I came across a whole stack of words that people had given me, encouragements, different things over the years, all the way back to like 92. And so I started reading these things. And it was like this is when I started thinking about the junk drawer, because it was in my junk drawer, per se, you know, of spiritual things. And I thought, why isn't that amazing? I got encouraged reading these words that people spoke to me and saw things that somebody had said to me in 92 that has come to pass in my life. And I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't even realize that what they said then has come to pass now. But then the Holy Ghost started speaking to me and started saying, see, you got that out of your junk drawer. You just had it over in the junk drawer and you got that thing out. That's what you're going to have to do in 2014. You're going to go back in your junk drawers and pull out those things that I've spoken to you and said to you over your life. The things that are going to, you've waited and thought and already gave up on aren't going to come to pass. You're going to come to pass in 2014. And I'm like, really? That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting something else for this year. And so I got to thinking about it, about all the vital things that you have in your junk drawer. So I'm just telling you, I'm pricking your mind to get you to start to look and start to think about it. Think about all the things God has done and said to you in life. The things that you've been discouraged over, the things that are whatever. And you just kind of sat back in your junk drawer because you didn't really know what to do. Well, I'm telling you, 2014, you're going to see it happen. But it's going to cause you to get in faith in it to see it happen. So you're going to be called to be stretched in 2014 to use your faith. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because the more you get stretched, the larger you are. You know, that's one of the great things about gaining weight. You get bigger. When I say, y'all want me to throw my weight around? I got some weight to throw around. I mean, I should have all kinds of amens and glory to God's and hallelujahs. And come on, pastor, preach it. Are y'all with me here? All of y'all in here, those of you listening by audio and those of you watching on the YouTube channel, let me tell you something. God has great things for you. God has done great things for you. You are very important people, and you need to learn to walk in it in 2014. Listen to me. You're a very important person. Darlene, sitting right there on the front row. I got to tell you, Darlene, just think about the great things God has done for you in life. You are a very important person. The devil's tried to kill you time and time again. And here you sit, front row, still praising God, still worshiping Him, still reading your Bible, still praying, still shouting the praises of God. You got a testimony. You're a very important person. Listen to me, each and every one of y'all. If he has a testimony of the things that God has done for you. When He saved you and delivered you. And brought you to this place. Listen to me. You are a VIP. Everybody say I'm a VIP. You're a very important person in the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. You are a saint. And it's time in 2014 that instead of taking the back seat, you begin to step up and say, excuse me, I'm a VIP. I need the front seat. I'm driving now. I am in charge now. I'm not listening to the devil and his lies and the world and the woes and this and that and the other. Let me tell y'all something. This may be a little controversial and, you know, write me a letter. I don't care. But actually, Christians, we won a great victory in the strangest of ways of something that just happened. Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, saying what he said, it was crude, but saying what he said, and then all of a sudden everybody's saying, wait a minute, we're going to lose our television ratings, and conservative people putting pressure on them to say, we know that's what the Bible says, and it's not an opinion, it's what we believe as a Christian, and so shut up, or whatever. For the first time I've seen in years, Christians actually got something done. And I'm really amazed that we got this bearded Duck Dynasty guy. I love it. I mean, man, he is the opposite of what religion looks like. Unless you want to go all the way back to biblical times and take his camo off of him and put a robe on him. He looked like Moses or something, you know. I think it's great. You know, I'm 100% supportive in what's going on there. The point is, VIPs demand attention. VIPs have power. Listen, you may not be anybody, but if you have the VIP card, you get into places. I love it. Maybe it's my ego. I love any time that I'm like in preferred seating. Makes me feel like a king. Like a, yeah, hey, bring me something over here, you know? It's great. I love it. I love being a VIP. Now just think about this. You're a son of the King. Hello? You're a child of God. Listen to me. Quit letting people tell you what you believe. Quit letting people set what you can say. In 2014, it needs to be a time that we as Christians stand up and we become the VIPs that we are, sons of the living God. We don't need to be crude. We don't need to be ugly. We don't have to be, cussing bunch of fools, but we need to stand our ground and say, no. Listen, I read my Bible. I know what it says. I know what my rights and privileges are. And I know what's right. I know what's wrong. So shut up. It's okay to use the word shut up. It's biblical. I found it in the Bible. Are y'all with me here? There's things that the devil has rooted into Christianity by saying that we need to be humble people and we've got to love everybody. So that means we're a doormat to let everybody run over. It's time for that foolishness to go out and for us to stand up and say, no, we're a force to be contended with. We love you. We want you to go to heaven. We realize that you're just a sick person who doesn't know what the truth is. And we love you, but what you're doing, you're wrong. And this is where we stand. This is what the Word of God says. It's not our opinion. This is what our God said. End of story. You don't like it. Are y'all with me? I mean, I believe the Bible's true. Hello? And so if it's in the Bible, I said, now, you know, I can't go and tell everybody they need to wear blue jeans. Need to wear boots. need to have a goatee. Right? That would be wrong. Because then that's just my opinion of the way I dress and what I like. But to go to the Word of God, hey, the Word of God's truth. This is what we believe. We have a manual. All we got to do is read it and say, this is what it says. Do it. Hello? Okay. So you guys are VIPs, but not only are you VIPs in the kingdom, not only are you so very important people, but you have power. Listen to me. You have power. You may feel powerless, but wait a minute. You have a direct line to the king. You can change things. You have power. Look at the person beside you and say, I got power. Now, I'll not finish this today. I'll have to work on it later on because I have like 15 points of power you have that you can demonstrate in 2014. Power that you have that you can demonstrate in 2014. Okay? The very first one. Go to, if you would, in your Bibles. Get your Bibles out. And go to John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The very first thing you have that you can demonstrate is that you have the power to become sons of God. Okay, now most of you probably listened to me this morning, have already committed your life to Jesus. And Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But let me tell you something. You have, it's a power. Think about this. You were one day lost in sin, completely no way you could be right with God, and you found Jesus. And you asked Jesus to come into your life. You said with your heart, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I need you. I want you in my life. Kaboom! The power that you released at that moment by saying what you did brought about a whole new course of your life. It says that you were an old creature, you became a new creature. All things became new. God set about a new course in your life. Listen to me, folks. You're going to live forever. Think about this. That is powerful that you uttered out of your lips and asked Jesus to come into your life and boom, everything changed. Everything changed. Folks, listen to me. Don't for a moment let anyone tell you that as a Christian, you're powerless. You have great power. The power to become a son of God by simply confession out of your mouth and belief in your heart. The problem with the world is the world doesn't want to deal with Jesus. They want to leave Jesus being a figure, a good man. Because the moment that they say, no, he was the Son of God, then all of a sudden it's in your face that he's the Son of God and you're going to have to deal with it. And it's a powerful thing to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then all of a sudden, your world changes. You see things differently. Things don't look like they used to look. Amen? Let me give you the second thing. Now, here you go. Go to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 19. James, chapter 5, verse 19. It says, brethren, anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the errors of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. You have the power, listen to me, to make sons of God. You don't personally make it, but you can get them to understand who Jesus is so that they confess at their mouth and become children of God. I'm looking for 2014. I have my faith out there because I believe that Jesus told me this is a year that you guys are going to get so stirred up that your friends, your associates, people that you know that are lost, that don't know Jesus, are going to get saved and you're going to lead them to the Lord. You're going to do it. Not me, you. Not me, you. You're going to be working with somebody and they're going to be discouraged and you're going to say, listen, don't, you know, man, you know, don't be discouraged or whatever, whatever. And then and the next thing you know, I said, I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, first thing you need to do is, you know, are you right with God? And they're going to break and they're going to say no. And you're going to just say, well, look, just pray and ask Jesus to come to your heart. And they're going to get saved and their life is going to be changed. And you're going to see their life changing for good. You're going to see victory coming into their life. And it's going to bless your soul because you're going to see the power that was released that changed that person's life. And you're going to get so excited. You're going to become ravenous to win more souls, ravenous to tell more people about Jesus, ravenous to stand up as a Christian. And you're going to fill this place up. That's what's going to happen in 2014. I'm going to stir you if I had to get the hot shot out and get after you. One way or another. You see, it's funny that, see, the you know, God bless my father. My father taught me a lot of great things. Taught me how to be a man. Taught me what was right and what was wrong. But my father never taught me spiritual things other than those principles. He was a great man, set a great example in life for me of what's right and what's wrong. But I remember one day when after I'd gotten saved and I'd left the church and the denomination that he'd always been raised in, and he and I kind of got at odds with each other. And he thought that I was a little too radical. Well, I think he thought I was a lot too radical. That I needed to just kind of calm down a little bit, you know. And I never forget one day he said, well, listen, you know, you're going out there and you're telling people that they need to get Jesus in their life, but that's between them and God, and you know, and what you're doing, you know, that's just really not right. Because see, that's how he had been raised. And there's a lot of denominational church doctrine or church bull that, for lack of better words, that says basically, oh, well, God's going to take care of everything and just let it all be. And you know, if that person's hungry for God, they'll come to God and then they'll do it a proper way. And then one day they'll go to a church service and they'll go to a church service. And then, you know, then they do this and then they go to this class and then they do that and they go up here and then finally they go up there in the church and da, 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 da. And I just want to tell y'all something. In 2014, it's not enough time for mess with all that junk. God wants to cut to the chase. He wants to get people to know that if they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart in Jesus Christ, that he will come into their life and save them and deliver them and get them out of the trouble they're in and get them out of the problems that they're in and set people free, that he is still a God of the miracle working power, that he is still alive, he's not dead, that he can walk in victory in their lives if they will just turn to him. Hello? And I just believe that we're good enough old country folks, just go out there and simply explain that to people around us and people can get turned and get saved and say, we need Jesus in your life. And I remember arguing with my father about this because that was traditional church belief. And I'm telling you, that's not the belief here at Living Waters Church. I'm telling you, you need to be as radical as you can be. If you get too crazy, I'll tell you to shut up. If you get too crazy, I'll find a shepherd's crook and I'll get hold of your neck and pull you back. Have y'all ever, now listen, this is really something that you should know. Have you ever used a walking cane or, you know, a walking stick, however you want to look at it, with a crook on it, you know, a normal typical cane? It wasn't made for everybody to walk around on because it had a hurt foot. Do y'all know that? It came about from shepherds trying to get the stupid sheep where he wanted him to go, and the dumb sheep wouldn't get in the right way, so he developed a crook on the end of his stick so he could reach over and get them by the neck and jerk them over there. That's what it's for. Later in life, everybody had one hanging around because they were messing with sheep, jerking them around. Say, hey, this thing works pretty good. Lean on this thing. And they said, well, my foot's hurting. So they got them a cane. And we all called it a cane. But I'm telling you what, it started out as shepherds in the field. And the reason why they had the long ones is, you know, you could reach out there a little farther and jerk that sheep back. It doesn't do any good to hit a sheep on the head square with it. It doesn't get them any more sense. You're referred to in the Bible as sheep. When I first got saved and read the Bible, that was one of the most offensive things to me. I mean, we were cattle people, and here I'm called a sheep. I mean, couldn't even have been called a bull. They sacrificed the bull, and I had to be a sheep. And I'm like, Lord, sheep stink. Nothing good about sheep. Idiot, stupid. And he's like, Well, I just really believe that God's going to put in your hand a shepherd's crook to be able to have those people that are around you that you know, your associates are going in the wrong direction, that you can just kind of reach out and get their head and pull them around and say, you need to get Jesus in your life. I believe 2014 can be the greatest and most exciting year for you because you personally are going to see the gospel applied. Because there's some of you in here, although you burn to tell other people about Jesus, you've always been hindered because you're scared of what's going to happen. And in 2014, you're just not going to care anymore. I am a Jesus freak. I know it. You know, I'm just a kind of a person that if you push me too hard, I'll whip you. I'm a little different that way. You follow me? See, it's okay to be a little different. He said, well, preacher, you can't do that. I can always repent later. My answer to everything when someone's in a problem is, okay, have you prayed? We need to pray. We need to talk to Jesus about this and get this. It's you too. But folks, listen to me. 2014, you're going to have opportunities. And it's going to start quickly. So you got to get your eyes open. Because you are a VIP, you're a very important person because you know Jesus. And that gives you the power to make disciples, to make sons of God, to tell people about Jesus. And you watch 2014, keep your expectors on, keep your ears open, start looking because people are going to come across your path that you are to lead them to Jesus. Come on, I'm telling you, you better be excited about it. You say, well, I'm scared to. Don't. The king wants you to do something for him. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Listen to me. Let me tell you where I came from. Y'all think I'm all smooth and polished? I started out going and preaching in the jails. That's where I learned to preach, in the jails. They sent me to the jails. I was so scared to go to the jails and preach. I'd never preached before in my life. I didn't have anything to say but my testimony of how Jesus has saved me. So they tell me, go on in there and just tell them your testimony. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. I know what Jesus is. I was so scared. I was scared that somebody was going to want to get saved. Now, this is crazy, but just listen to me. I was scared that somebody was going to want to come to get saved and come to me and say, how do you get saved? Because I didn't know that I could properly pray with them. So, man, I researched this thing. I went through before, you know, because I had a few days before I was going. And I mean, I got Billy Graham's prayer. I got everybody's prayer. I found every prayer I possibly could pray. Got all this stuff. Wrote all this thing down. And when I got through, I had a 2-page prayer. And I thought to myself, well, how can this be? I'm going to go up there with this person and have the 2-page prayer. Let's just pray this and follow after me. For 2 whole pages? And I remember the Lord said to me, Robert, it's their heart and it's me. And all you have to do is just simply be there in the middle between me and them. And just, there's no perfect word. There's no certain word. There's no certain way you have to pray. There's no certain anything you have to say. Just, you're just introducing me to them. That's it. And I remember just saying, oh, I can do that. Okay. And I went to the jail and I never forgot. I never forget that right there at that moment it's 5 or 6 guys came up to me and said, well, I want Jesus in my life. And I was like, okay, well, let me introduce you to him. Well, how do we do that? I said, well, let's just pray. I'll just pray and y'all repeat after me. All right. Jesus. You know, and we just started out praying. It was so simple because I didn't make it religious and complicated. In 2014, you're going to have that opportunity to just take somebody by the hand and say, Jesus, come into my life. I need you. Thank you this day. And folks, then it's his job to do the rest. It's not your job. It's his job. You can't change the things in life or do anything for them in life. It's not your job. It's your job to introduce them to Jesus. It's his job then to do the rest. Hello? Now, can y'all all just, like, if you could introduce somebody, right? And say, hey, Laura, this is Maggie. Right? You can do that. That's not a big deal. So take all the religious junk out of it. Take all, well, did I pay the perfect prayer? Did I do the perfect thing? No, simply get them to say, Jesus, come into my life. End of story, you did it.
Well, that doesn't seem very, very official to me.
Well, you're in the wrong church then. This is the Living Waters Church way, the cowboy way. I believe my God's big enough to take care of it. That person's heart really wants it. And if I have to pray up some kind of religious prayer to get them saved, well, then, folks, I'm in the wrong game. Are y'all with me? Okay. So you have the power to become a son of God and the power to make a son of God. Amen? The third thing. Okay? If you would go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is going to be an important scripture for this year. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Now, in that day and time, you have to understand, when he said that, Jerusalem was the capital, or you know, the city that they lived in. Judea would be like saying it was the state. And thank you. So let me put it this way. Jerusalem would have been the capital. Judea would have been the county. Samaria would have been the state. And then the other ends of the earth. How about that? In other words, he says your surroundings, what you're familiar with. Y'all with me? I was watching this show last night. It's one of these shows where they go around and eat weird things. And I always like to watch those things because it makes me, whenever I travel and go over anywhere, it makes me have something to expect. You know, like if I know what it is, I may, don't it seem so stupid, I guess. But this, they were over in Belgium, supposed to be the greatest restaurant in the world past 4 years. It was the number one restaurant in the world. And this guy goes out and forages and gathers everything from the area, from the region. And then that's what he cooks. And he's gotten the farmers to work with him and to go through and get all this stuff. And so they're putting stuff on plates. You know, it was pretty. I'll say that, man. And it was one of those, you know, we had about, you know, six or eight courses, you know, it all came through, you know, a little bit at a time. I've got it figured out. When you go to a really expensive restaurant and they serve it in courses like that, the reason why they do is they don't feed you enough at any one time so that by the time you get through with it, you've just been sitting there for so long, you're not hungry anyway, you're just ready to go home. That's what I think. Anyway. So, I mean, they were serving grass and all kinds of seaweed and stuff. And, I mean, you know, I was like, man, where's the beef, you know? Like, where's a big old fat, juicy steak cooked just right, you know, and a big old potato salted down? Whew. Backstrap and biscuits and gravy. I mean, where's the good stuff in life, you know? You didn't see any deer hanging up back there they'd cut up or nothing like that, you know? But my point is this man went out and he foraged everywhere around to get what he cooked in the restaurant, and he got world acclaim for that. Well, listen, your Jerusalem, your Judea, and your Samaria, all around you, what you already is your surroundings. In 2014, God wants you to release the power of the Holy Spirit in those areas. You're already there. He doesn't necessarily need you to go somewhere else. You're already there. So let's just talk about releasing the power of the Holy Spirit here for a second. God says he equips you with the Holy Spirit to have power to go about, listen to me, and be who he was on earth. So what he said. John 14, he said he wants you to go out and do the same works that he did. In other words, you're supposed to be his representative walking around on this earth. You're supposed to be Jesus to the people that don't know him. And the Jesus I know was not a wimp. The Jesus I know is powerful. The Jesus I know was cool. The Jesus I know provoked would turn tables over and grab a whip, run everybody out. The Jesus I know is the most disciplined person in the world because somebody spit in his face and he didn't tear their head off. That he had at every moment the ability to call down angels from heaven and stop the whole thing, but he didn't do it. The Jesus I know, when confronted with the religious people of the day, made them look really silly. The Jesus I know is when they took him to the brink of a hill to throw him off, he just walked through the midst of them. The Jesus I know is when they came to arrest him and old Peter chopped off a guy's ear, he just reached down and put it back on his head. Can you imagine that? Oh, your ear. Here you go. Put it back on your head. And the guy feels of it its own. That's wild. That is wild. The Jesus I know is a guy that heals lepers. They're losing body parts as they walk down the road, you know. And Jesus heals them all. And their flesh is normal. The Jesus I know makes blind eyes open. The Jesus I know cast devil out of a woman's daughter so she could be whole. I said this in Sunday school this morning. We got too many demons going to church on Sunday morning. That's right, I said that. Too many churches, you know, Sunday morning's a good gossip place. Just come along and talk about, did you know, did you hear what happened to some? Did you know what they were into? That's nothing but a demon manifesting. When the offering plates pass by, I say, well, that church getting too much money around here. Somebody needs to take some out of there. That's just not too much. Spirit of greed operating. It's time for the church to have Christians that have power. And the only way you're going to have power in 2014 is to come to an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what he would have you do. Hello? Have you ever thought it was interesting that when you go and you start talking about churches and denominations, that the thing that separates denominations is the Holy Spirit, or the belief in the Holy Spirit, or if the Holy Spirit, is doing miracles, or, you know, whatever, and you start talking about speaking in tongues or anything like this, that's the dividing line within churches. That, to me, is really weird. Because it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you go out throughout the whole scriptures and you look at the Holy Spirit. You go read the Bible. Just read your Bible. Talks all about the Holy Spirit. I was just preaching this morning, teaching on the Holy Spirit in Sunday school. So I'm just saying, I don't know what to say. Be honest with you. I'm just kind of figuring it's all stupid. And I can't even, everybody just needs to shut up about it. I mean, I can't believe it. Christians arguing around about things like this. Just go read your Bible. If it's in there, do it. If it's not, don't. Lord, how complicated can that be? Why do we have to have 2,000 years of church doctrine together to tell me what the Bible says? If you can find it in three places, don't do it. Or do it. If you find one place in the scriptures, well, you better check that one out. Hello? Find it in three places in the Bible. It says, do it. Good Lord. But you know what? See, man has to have doctrines based upon trying to talk themselves out of the things that the Bible wants them to do that they don't want to do. That's what happened to the Pharisees. The Pharisees got religious because they were making up rules to basically get around the things they didn't want to do. That's all church doctrine is. But if it's in the Bible, you should do it. If it isn't, you shouldn't. And we have to watch ourselves because we're not perfect. We're human. And we can get to doing things out of habit and find out that we're totally and completely wrong. Heavens forbid, but we could be. I check myself all the time. I question myself all the time to make sure that I'm not just being me and missing what the Spirit of God would want to do. Y'all with me? You're going to see some changes in 2014 because God has spoken to me about some things that we've got to change in this church. And there's going to be some changes. It ain't going to be nothing, you know, major, not tearing the walls down or nothing like that. But there's going to be some changes and you're going to see them come on. And I'm going to do it because I believe it's God. He showed me in the Word that that I have followed a pattern because that's what I was taught that wasn't necessarily right. And then there has to be some changes. And so no big deal. We're going to make the changes. You know why? Because if you make the changes, you're going to see victory. God's going to ask you in 2014 to make some changes and get some things out of your life. Listen to me. It's time to quit. So I can say this at the end and then y'all can go seethe outside and be mad at me. Go talk about it over lunch. All right, you are a VIP. Everybody say I'm a VIP. Everybody say I have power. Okay, say I have God-given power. You do, okay? But if you do nothing with it, it will not operate in your life. If you do not read your Bible, you do not know what it says, you cannot operate in the power of God. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time. You know what I mean? I'm so busy and you know, going wrong and trying to, I don't have a good attention to sit and read. And I don't have to. Shut up. That is the lamest excuse I've ever heard in my life. There's 24 hours in a day. Take 15 minutes. My Lord, I'm not asking for you to sit all day long, you know, with the Bible. You can't drive because you're reading your Bible. I'm talking about spending some time with God and learning what the Bible says. Well, it's not interesting. Oh, but you'll read every CD romance novel. You'll go get in every book and read every other book in the world this thick and say, yeah, I just love that book. That's the greatest book I ever read. I'm surprised. Listen to me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not standing in judgment. I'm just preaching. There's a difference. I'm just preaching. All right. But if you can, like the new movie out, the Hunger Games, I didn't even know it was a book. That's how far off I am. I didn't even know it was a book. And I heard somebody the other day say, oh yeah, I've read every one of the books. I said, well, how many books are there? I was like, what, four? Three? Three books. I was like, you read three books? I mean, I was shocked. I didn't know the person who could even read. And I just sat back and thought, if you can read three books, you can read the Bible. Now, I don't know that they don't read the Bible. I'm just saying, it just struck me so odd that this person's had time to read three books. I could read three books, but I don't prioritize my time to do that. Because there's 24 hours in a day, you can do whatever you want to. So what do you prioritize yourself to do? Hello? I'm just telling you, there's no excuse. If you're going to walk in power, you got to do it. Just like if you're going to lose weight, you're going to have to exercise. I don't like it. Don't want to do it. I get the scripture. Paul says bodily exercise profiteth little. But I know that if I want to get myself in shape and have more energy and do these things, because I know, because I've experienced it by exercising, I have more energy, I lost some weight, it feel better, then stupid, do it. But my body will scream and tell me all kinds of things to keep me from doing it. Hello? But the bottom line is, I know what the truth is. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. If you're going to walk in power, and you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to know what the Word of God says. There's no excuse. You have the power to read the Word of God, grab hold of the things of God, say, oh my gosh, I see what he's talking about here. And boom, see things change in your life. And if you don't, then you know what happens? We have a weak, anemic church that is all the time coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday and every other prayer meeting to try to get to the place that they have some life and their head's above water. It's not just right here, you know. And they're always anemic because they're not walking in power. They're not doing anything to read the Word of God, to build themselves, to strengthen themselves, to walk in victory. And that's not going to be y'all. Because like I said, if I have to get the hot shot after you, have to shame you, have to just do whatever, you're going to become the most powerful church around this area. We're going to win this region. We're going to preach the gospel to our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria. You're going to see you demonstrate in power. You're going to see you walk in victory. People are going to walk through the doors of this church just to come in here and to see what in the world is going on. They're going to carry it over to their church. They're going to carry it to their people, because this church is not just about Utopia's church. It's a regional church. Folks, listen to me. This church touches people all over the world. And we need to touch more. We need to do more victory. All right? But we're going to do it by increasing all of y'all. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, hey, get ready for some good things. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Can I have my prayer team come down this morning? If you're here today, listen to me. This is one of the things that you're going to really start to see a change in right here. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He saved me. He changed my life. He took me out of the pit of despair with a gun to my head ready to end my life and brought me to the place I am right now. Gave me a beautiful family, blessed me. Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. So this is one of the things you're going to see happen. I'm not embarrassed about Jesus. You know, sometimes we get embarrassed, like, ooh, I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. Well, in church here, I'm just declaring it's okay to make those around you feel uncomfortable if you're helping them move forward. All right? So turn to the person on your left and ask them, say, do you know Jesus? And then turn around to the person on your right and say, no, do you know Jesus? Because I want everybody that comes to church in here to know that they can leave the doors of this church and they're right with God. See, it's a simple thing. It's not a complicated thing. It's a simple thing. Shouldn't be an embarrassing thing. Should be a powerful thing. Y'all with me? So if you were asked that question and you kind of laughed and said, yeah, but you're really not sure? Listen, don't leave without coming up here to one of these people and getting them to pray with you. Folks, let them introduce you to Jesus. Let them bring assurance into your heart that God is real, that he loves you, and that Jesus is his son. That's the power I'm talking about. You have the power to make the decision. They have the power to pray with you, and everybody wins. Amen. So if you would, let me pray over you. And let me just ask you that question. Those of you listening, those of you watching, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, let me introduce you to him. Just ask him to come into your life right now. Just begin right there, wherever you are, to say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I want you in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. You pray in a prayer like that, you crying out to God like that, it will change your life because Jesus will come into your life and set you free. Now take the hand of the person beside you. I want to bless you. And if that person beside you didn't seem like they really knew for sure Jesus was their Savior, ask them again and then bring them up here up front. Let these people pray with them. But Father, I just bless this congregation this morning. I ask you, Lord God, to place your hands strongly and mightily upon them. Every place and every person who hasn't believed that they are very important people, haven't believed that, God, that you want them to do mighty things on this earth, Lord, that they would see it right now. Every stronghold would be broken. Every condemning thought would be gone. And, Lord, they would come into the place of their lives where they would be receiving from you, Jesus. And we would walk with you and we would tell others about you. So, Lord, I thank you for empowering them, for blessing them, that as we close out this year of 2013 and we come back next Sunday in 2014, Lord, I just declare that the past is behind us, the hindrances of the past are gone, and the victory that's in front of us is coming. And I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. Now bless them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're here for you. If you need prayer, if you got somebody, come down up here. We're ready to pray with you.